restore, die for my, born to die for my sins, later. We think of it being the ransom for our sins, but I'm going to tie in a little something different tonight. Is he more than just your Savior, but is he your Lord? Now, the Lord of our life is anything that we bow to. It's anything that controls us. It's anything that we allow to lead us. And we're going to talk about, is Jesus really your Lord, as far as your everyday living, your everyday life? Many folks profess Christ, but they don't let him be their Lord. Many say they believe in Jesus, and they're saved, they're going to heaven, but their days of living on the earth doesn't reflect leaning on God as their Lord for everything. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a praying home. I grew up seeing my parents pray for things, pray for situations. They took it to the Lord. It was more than just saying, Jesus is my Savior, but they lived that life as he's my Lord. We got a major decision, we go to God. We got something going on, we go to God. We put God first. God's always first. Anytime I counsel couples that I marry, we talk about that. How that God has to be first. If he's not first, it won't work. It just won't work. I don't care what you try to say, it won't work. God has to be honored first in any relationship. Then when God is honored first, as you serve God and put him above everything else, all other things seem to fall in place the right way. But we try to promote ourselves over God, or our home over God, or our job over God, or our kids over God, or anything over God, then it gets it out of balance. So is Jesus really your Lord? As we celebrate this season, it's a great time to say, Lord, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but I've not let you be Lord of my life. I'm hanging on to things I should have let go of years ago, or I'm battling things I should have more strength to overcome right now, or I'm making poor decisions and poor choices when I should be making better choices if you are really my Lord. So God is a very active God and wants to be an active God in your life. He wants to be an everyday active God in your life, not just a byword or a Sunday appearance or a, yeah, I'm going to heaven speech. He wants to really be your Lord, to where any decision you have, it goes to God first. Any problem you have, God first. Any storm, God first. Because if we believe that he's this big, incredible, all-powerful God, why are we not letting him be the personal Lord of our own lives? Just our own little life, our own little Monday morning, our Tuesday evening, our Thursday afternoon, be our God in every situation. But if you're like me, and you probably are because all of you are humans, even the little ones, they're humans in here tonight, we have something that we just seem to naturally draw back to, and that's us. What can I do to fix it? What can I do to make it better? What can I do to calm the storm? What can I do to bring a different solution? What can I do to make it right? And we find out we really can't. But if we'll step back and say, okay, God, take it over. You're the Lord. Not just the Lord, but you're my Lord. Not just the Lord of all creation, but the Lord of me and my life and my family and my finance and my body and my mind and my soul. You are Lord over all. And if I let you be God in my life, things may turn out a little bit different, and I may see some different end results if I let you be God. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to start in Matthew 6 with verse 9. And this is, of course, something we've, read our whole lives. We've been in church very long. People call it the, Lord's Prayer. A lot of us can quote it or recite it. But look what Jesus says in verse 9. This is talking about how do we pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what Jesus is saying is you must first acknowledge and honor me. Acknowledge who I am. Hallowed be thy name. Glorious, worthy, honorable God is your name. So we are establishing that he's Lord in our prayer. God, you're Lord. Before I even pray any further, before I say anything else, I'm going to first acknowledge, Lord, you're worthy, and your name is worthy, and your presence is worthy, and you're glorious, and you're victorious, and you're an overcomer. Hallowed be thy name. Then he goes on to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, if we really are following God, he's the Lord of our lives, that's our prayer. Lord, your will be done in the earth. Or we can say it this way, to be a more practical way for us. Lord, let your will be done in my life up on the earth while I'm here. Let your will be done. Whatever that is, I'm acknowledging your Lord, hallowed be your name, you're glorious. And God, let your will, not my will, let your will be done. When we say, God, let your will be done, we're giving him the full reign and full permission in our lives to bring that will into our lives. What happens, that will doesn't line up. Most times, if you found out, if you prayed very many times for something, and you'll find this out, that it doesn't a lot of times match up to what you want it to happen, how you want it to happen. You pray for something, and it doesn't happen the way you prayed. And so you say, okay, God, you didn't answer it, so I'm not going to pray no more. If we truly pray, God, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, take care of my situation here according to how you see best fit, not how I see best fit. That's why the song D sung Sunday morning is, you know, so powerful. Keep me in your will. You know, keep me in your will. And Anna, by the way, Chuck's mom, so that's one of her favorite songs. She heard it years ago. Actually bought the CD of that song years and years ago. One of her favorite songs. So when you sung it, just so moved her. Keep me in your will so I don't get in the way. How many times do we get in the way? Because we're pushing for something God doesn't want. We're trying to bring something to our lives that God says, no, no, no. You may think that's what you want, but I see around the next corner. I see around the next turn, and I know exactly what you need. Just let me give you what you need, and trust me. That's making God the Lord of our lives, more than just a Savior, but the Lord of our lives, giving him full reign to rule and be who he is in our lives. Then he goes on to say in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. You know what this verse is indicating? That God, I got to have you every day. I got to have you every day. I got to have you in my life every single day. You know what I need, because we don't know what the next day brings, but God already does. So every day he's got fresh bread for us. Every day. Do any of you go in Bojangles? Will any of you go to Bojangles in the morning and you walk in and say, hey, I want yesterday morning sausage, egg, cheese, biscuit. You got one from yesterday? None of you is going to ask for that. In fact, some of you are so snooty. If it's not warm enough, I want me a fresh one. I want it so hot I can't bite into it. These are stale. Give me a fresh, just made from scratch, homemade right now, in the instant, in the moment. I want to see the flour flying in the kitchen. I want it right now. Fresh. We don't go ask for yesterday's biscuit. A lot of you don't like leftovers. There's some of you won't eat leftovers. It'll be good. You make a big old lasagna, right? It's great. Put a little bit back in the refrigerator the very next day. It's just as good as it was yesterday. No, it ain't. You want something fresh. So when it comes to things of God, we need him every day to be Lord of our lives. Every single day. Because the answered prayers of today may not be the same answers we need tomorrow. But God knows that. So we pray, God, give me my daily bread. Situations in our lives change in a moment. A phone call, a visit, anything can change forever your situation. And so we pray, God, give me my daily bread. In other words, I want you to be Lord of my life today and every day. So when we pray that, you're saying, God, be Lord of my life today. More than a Savior, but my Lord. Next verse. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Once again, acknowledging and asking, Lord, I can't do it apart from you. It's kind of hard to forgive people apart from God, isn't it? It's not just in our human will just to somebody wrong you or use you or hurt you, and you automatically in your human nature say, I forgive you, my child, because I am meek and holy and mild. No, you feel like slapping three aisles over. So you need God's help to say, Lord, I got to have you if I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I've got to have you, because we get hurt by people, we get abused by people, we get used by people, and we need God's help for that forgiveness, because it's not our human nature to automatically forgive those that hurt us. Our automatic nature is the old eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I'm going to kick your hind end from here to yonder. That's our human nature. So we say, God, I pray that you forgive me and that I have the strength to forgive others. And then 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. See, acknowledging who he is. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's acknowledging who God is, that he's more than just a saving Savior. He's more than a one-time altar call experience. That's the very beginning. That's step one. We give our life to Jesus. That's step one. And so many people leave it at that and don't take it any farther. I've been saved. I'm good. And live their lives as if there is no God because I've been saved. I got what I needed. I'm redeemed. I'm going to heaven. But yet we struggle day to day, week to week, year after year, not using God in the way he wants us to use him as our Lord, as our hero, as our protector and provider and deliverer and healer and king. All those things God is. And he wants to be that in our lives if we'll let him be that. But many of us don't let him be Lord. We follow our own lust and we let our own weaknesses pull us down. And I mean, how many of us just make the same stupid mistakes over and over and over? And it's like, man, why do I keep repeating this? Why do I keep doing these things? Because we've not allowed God to step in and say, Lord, you've got to handle this and you've got to be Lord of my life and give me the strength to make different choices and to go a different way and a different road. We can't do it without God's help. But a lot of folks keep God out because God's an inconvenience. He's a distraction in their life. He's a bother. And here's the real reason. He convicts. And we know that if we truly allow God to be the Lord of our lives, that he's going to convict us of something in our lives that we don't want to, our flesh doesn't want to let go of. And it means that if we make God our Lord, that he will change us and mold us and transform us. And shouldn't that really be every Christian desire? That we're transformed? Remember what David said? Lord, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. That's where we should really be. We shouldn't be scared to let God expose our darkness. We should welcome it. God, expose that darkness because it's in the way. That darkness and that way of life is in the way because I've not let you be Lord. I'm saved and I love you and I know you died on the cross for me, but you know, I'm not letting you be in my everyday life as my Lord. That you are number one on everything. Everything. You know, my kids were amazed. They just made the comment how I love God more than my kids. And they're like, you love God more? You love God you can't see more than us you can see? I can see God, though. I can see God as clearly as I can see you. Just in a different way. But clearly I see God as much as I can see my children. Because without God, I wouldn't hold you in my arms. Without God, there would be no birthing experience. Without God, there would be no bringing home from the hospital. Without God, there would be no 5th birthday and 10th birthday and 20th birthday. Without God, none of that would happen. So I see God in everything. It's important we make that statement and say, you know, in our family and knows, God, you're first because of what you did for me. Nobody else died for me. And if you did try to die for me, you couldn't save me because you're just as imperfect as I am. But the perfect Lamb of God died once and for all to give us eternal redemption. And that's a God worth following and worth loving and saying, you became all that I couldn't. You took all that I deserved and gave me a way out. That's what makes grace so amazing. That's why it's amazing grace. God took what we deserved upon himself and wiped our slate clean and says, not guilty. So, the Bible says that we love God because he first loved us. He reached out to us, church. He passed your way. He called your name. He came to you and began to whisper in your ear and draw you into himself. He did that because he loved you. And he did it more than just to save you so you don't go to hell. He did it so he could become a friend and companion in your life every day. He can become a source of strength. I mean, think about this. You're starving. You're at home and you're just hungry. I mean, you just hadn't ate all day, and you go to the refrigerator, it's packed full of food. All kinds of everything you like. It's got all the meats and cheeses, and you got all kinds of to eat. But you don't use it. You close the refrigerator and say, I'm so starving. Man, I wish I had something to eat. And there it is. Refrigerator's full of food. But for some reason, you refuse to eat it. This is God. God's got all we need every day to give us that strength, that peace, that next step of our journey. He's there to help us and hold us and give us victory. But we don't tap into it because we leave him out of our lives. We leave him out of our decision making. I mean, how many times do we talk about a problem with each other or on Facebook or a phone call or texting back and forth, and not one time we took that to God, not once. Thank you. And he's sitting there saying, okay, they've texted 10 people with this problem. They Facebooked it 10 different people. They went to work and talked about it. They talked to all their family about it. They're grieving at night about it. They're losing sleep over it, not eating over it. And they've not one time come to me with it. Not one time really said, Lord God, my God, help me. Please help me. If we realize the help that was available to us through God that we don't use, for whatever reason, whether we've been just, we think he's so distant, he don't hear us, or he's busy somewhere else, or you know, our issue is not important to him, whatever it is important to him. It's very important to him. Whether it's a kid in school that needs to succeed on a test, that's important to God. That's very important when a kid is stressed and they're doing what they need to do to pass. It's important. It's important for a person laying in the hospital to be able to cancer. It's important to them. It's important to the mother and father who are completing divorce. It's important. Whatever it is, God cares. Use him. Go to the next scripture. This is the same chapter. This starts with verse 25. Now, we've read this too all of our lives. Look what Jesus says. Now, we're talking about, is he your Lord? Is he really your Lord? Do you really trust him as your Lord? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather thee into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Are we not better or more important to God than a bird? We are. Yet he takes care of those birds. The natural cycle of life is available and in place by the providence of God to feed those birds all across the world. They find what they need. They're not stressing. They're not worried. They just, by the instinct God gave them, it's like I said before, animals do what they're supposed to do as their act of worshiping God. That's how they behave. When you hear a bird chirping, it's doing what God called it to do. When you see it flying, it's doing what God called it to do. When you see it getting a little worm out of the ground, it's doing what God called it to do. Each thing that it does, you know, right now it's hibernation season, I guess. It's getting close, I would say, to hibernation season. By the way, if you, any hunters in here? No hunters tonight, is there? Do you hunt, Tommy? No hunters. When I was up there at the park today, Stone Mountain, I was walking through, I was totally by myself, walking through this little pig trail through the woods. And I heard a rustling over the leaves, and I looked over. Beautiful white-tailed deer. About where Tommy is, and I was just close to it. It stopped. It looked at me. Then it moved a little bit, and it stopped, looked at me again, and just stared at me. I was close as me and Tommy, that deer. Just beautiful. And that deer just began to hop on through the woods, by his business, do his thing. So I started hopping down the trail and doing my thing. But God takes care of all those creations. But what I was going to say is, you know, it's about hibernation season. I guess it is in some parts of the country. Maybe here it's not exactly. I don't exactly know what hibernation is for certain animals. But the bears. Think about the bears. Bears are going to hibernation during the winter. You know, they go into hibernation. It's cold. They, you know. What tells them to go to bed? I mean, think about that. You know, George and Harry are walking along the trail. Well, George, I get sleepy. What about you? Yeah, I think it's time to go to bed. You think so? Yeah, I think it's time to get our little cave and curl up. I'll see you in April, George. Okay, Harry. And they go and hibernate. Then all of a sudden, one morning, the dawn breaks. No alarm clocks. No music starts blaring from the little clock. Nobody knocks on the door. Mr. Bear is trying to wake up. No mama, time for school. None of that. All of a sudden, one morning, that was a good nap. I needed that 4 months. And all of a sudden, they come out, and they begin to gather food. And guess what? They're hungry. So don't go to the woods in April. But they're hungry, and they're wanting to eat. God speaks to creation, and somehow it just all works. How much greater, how much more does he want to be the Lord of our lives, the provider, the protector, the defender, the way maker, the door opener of our lives, his greatest creation, humans, us, greatest creation was man and woman. So he wants to be our Lord. So, next verse. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? This is better translated as any more time to your life. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? This is Jesus talking. Think about when we all, most of us love spring. When spring comes forth, we start seeing all the flowers begin to bud. The fields begin to grow again, don't they? Grass begins to turn green. Flowers pop up. Dogwoods bloom. Beautiful time of year. The crepe myrtles come alive, and it's just the bushes come alive. It's a great time of year. If God puts that much effort into that short season for a non-soul living creation, how much more will he clothe and give us our blooms that we need to sustain us all of our lives and all of our days? How much more? He puts a lot of effort in spring. And a lot of effort in the fall. I mean, everybody goes in the mountains in the fall because, why? The colors are just beautiful. And then we like going places in the spring because the colors are beautiful. And even the winter, if you like snow, we go places where it's covered in a white wonderland. It's beautiful. There is nothing more pure than a white snow when it first falls. Isn't it just the cleanest, whitest, purest thing? And when it gets a little bit dirty, boy, does it change. But when it first falls, nothing prettier. It's just so clean. And see, when snow falls, it's so quiet. It ain't like rain or hail. You can't even hear it. It's just quiet, but yet it's falling. But you can't hear it. It's just so soft. If God clothes those mountains in the winter and clothes those fields in the spring and clothes those trees in the fall, how much more does he want to be our Lord and clothe us every day of our lives? If we let him be Lord, we got to let him be Lord. We got to take it to him. We got to say, God, I can't fix it. I can't change it. I have a need. I have something that needs to be met. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can't figure it out. So, Lord, I'm making you Lord of my life, and you bring it into my life. Bring it to my hands. Open that right door. Close that wrong window. Bring your favor. Bring your blessing. Lord, bring your power into my life in such a way that I know it's directly from the throne of God, because you're my Lord. And if you're my Lord, you can do anything. When you're a kid, your mom and dad do anything, right? I'll tell my daddy. He'll beat your daddy up. And they come home and tell you that, and you go, what? You seen her daddy? Don't be going around saying that. Your mom and dad can do anything when you're little. They look up at you and, oh, that's my mom, that's my dad. As long as I'm with them, I'm safe. And, you know, Kingston doesn't have any clue of provision right now. He knows he's going to eat when he's hungry. He never doubts that. He's not sitting here now thinking, I wonder if there's food for me to eat when I get hungry. He's going to eat. He's going to have a place of sleep tonight. He already knows that. There is no thought for tomorrow for him. He knows his needs are going to be met because the people in his life are meeting them. How much greater God, who has an endless treasure chest, who has endless power, endless reign, endless rule, endless omnipotency, endless presence, how much more will that God of heaven and earth, creator of all things, give to us if we make him our Lord? If we truly make him our Lord and say, God, I believe in you more than anything or anybody else. It's you. And I trust you. What we've got to be careful about is when we don't get what we want, we can't thank God didn't give it to us. Many, many times, God's protecting us from something we can't see. I have firsthand experience to that, of God protecting me from things I wanted that weren't right. And that's why in that song, D sings, I think the powerful verse in that is, you know, if I pray for things I want, give me what I need. Because, do you understand that God's needs in our lives will satisfy our wants? God's needs will satisfy our wants if it comes from God. You seen that commercial? I think it's an insurance commercial. And oh yeah, Geico said 15%, 15 minutes are done. Everybody knows that. Well, did you know that genies are really literal? Have you seen that new one? That genies are really literal. They are, yeah. And it shows a genie popping out of a bottle, and the guy goes, "Oh, you may have one wish. What's your wish?" And the guy says, "I want $1 million." As a million deer popped out in the street. Wouldn't you be mad? I wish for $1 million and I got $1 million or antlers. Are you kidding me? And so sometimes things we wish for, if we just let God handle it, the guy was smart. He would have said, "Well, God knows what I want." Boom, there'd been $1 million in cash. That's what he really wanted. So we got to be careful what we pray for. But if it's God's will, it will fulfill our wants. I've learned that God's will for my life will satisfy really what I need and what I desire. I'll find out it is what I wanted. You know, sometimes we think we want this, and if we had that, we'd be happy. And we go searching for that goal and chasing that rainbow and trying to achieve this, and we think if I can get that, and then we find out that, you know, all along God has exactly where he wanted us. Let's appreciate where we're at and where God has us now. Therefore, take no thought, saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we be clothed with?" Don't even think about that, Jesus says. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." God knows what you need. "But first, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." See, if we make Jesus our Lord, not just our Savior, but our Lord, then all of our needs will be met. Why? Because they're coming from God. He's our Lord. Where my mom and dad's limitation stops, God doesn't. Where somebody else's hand out can't quite reach me, God's can. There's no separation or gap. No shortage of distance, not with God. So no matter who we put our trust in, we might think we got it made because we got a certain person in our lives or a connection or the right job or, you know, whatever it is. And we find out connections can fail and jobs can be gone and things can run out. But not God, not if he's our Lord, because where God's concerned, there's more where that came from. There's more healing where that came from, more blessings, more deliverance, more finance, more whatever you need. God's got what you need because he has an endless supply of whatever you need because he's God. He's your Lord, and your Lord don't run out of nothing and never will. He's got everything for eternity in his bag of everything you would need in every season, every step, every time frame of your life. God's got it. So he's not going to run out. So trust him. Make him your Lord. More than just your Savior. Don't picture him just as that baby that came to the land and died for our sins and rose. That's wonderful. It all started there. But God wants you to take it further than that and say, "Okay, God, you're my Savior and I'm redeemed. Now I need you every day to be my Lord and my God. Every day I got to be able to talk to you and hear your voice and know that my hand's in your hand and my life's in your life and my steps are in your steps. Be my Lord. If you're my Lord, I have nothing to fear. Because you're not going to ever let me down, God, or ever let me run out, or ever let me, you know what David said, I never seen God's seed out begging for bread. You're not going to let me be left out off the hook if you're my Lord, because you have an endless supply of what I need. Is he your Lord? There's a difference. Celebrate that this month. Make him your Lord. Say, how do I do that? You wake up each day and give your day to God. It's yours, God. My thoughts are yours, Lord. My decisions I give to you, God. My children, my spouse, my home, my health, my finance. God, all of it belongs to you. You take my life and you are my investor, so to speak. You're my banker. You write the checks in my life that need to be written and stop the ones that don't need to be written. You take control. Let me not make stupid decisions. Let me not make wrong decisions. Guide my ways. Ordain my steps. Be my Lord. Go before me and make a way. Surround me and protect me. Protect me from my own self. God, protect me from my own stupidity, my own emotions, my own anger, my own frustrations, my own fears. So many times our flesh gets in the way and we step out and we make wrong decisions in our flesh, and it's not what God wanted. But if we check down and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Not what do I want to do. What would you have me do, God? That's the bigger question. What, Lord, would you have me do? That's submitting to him as your Lord and not just as your Savior. When you ask him, what would you have me do? It takes humility to do that. And it takes strength to do that, to give it to God. Because many of us are nature as control freaks. And if we can't control it, we're not in a good place. And we find out that we're not as good drivers as we thought we were. Because we lose control a lot. We think we got it all in the road. If we know we're in a ditch, we're like, how'd I get in the ditch? Because you didn't let God drive. It's just that simple. God wants to direct our lives. Let him be your Lord.
Well, I said, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I said, now go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I said, now go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. One more time. I said, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Yeah, I'd like to have been there with Bruce. I would have been backstage saying, to brother, don't get nervous. Don't worry about the last guy that choked it up. Yeah. You'll do good. I'd have been right there encouraging him. I said, picture my face when you're out there.
Yeah. Just like he was on the plane.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I had him so nervous on the plane. Good gracious. Mm. Bless his heart. Lean against the window. You got to lean against that window. That thing might break. I said, Bruce's window ain't going to break.
I said, James, you seeing anything out there? He's all out that window. I said, come on, dude.
Bruce,
I said, where? I said, are you? I said, what number are you on the next flight? He said, I'm da-da-da-da. Which one are you? I said, I'm da-da-da. I was sitting somewhere else.
Yeah, I started to tell him. I said, see that guy on that wing out there? What's he doing? That old Twilight Zone.
Man.
Oh, man. Well, let's stand on our feet. We'll close out in prayer. If you have an offering tonight, after we pray, you can come give that in the offering plate and get your kids picked up, or your adults, whichever one you brought. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We do ask that you just you give us that strength to let you in our lives more, to become that Lord of our lives, not just our Savior, but our Lord, to guide us and keep us. And we'll make decisions, Lord, based on what you would desire for our lives. You're so available, God, if we'll let you be available in our lives. We just don't turn to you enough. We don't use you enough, God. You desire that we call on you all the time and use you all the time. You are our Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. And just give us the strength to step out and really let you go before us and make the way that we will have good success. It'll be because of your hand, not our own hand. Bless each one here tonight. Keep them safe going home. And we give you honor and praise for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the doors opening for our friend and brother Bruce. I just pray you open many, many more doors, God, and that you use his platform to share the gospel, that they will see the light of Jesus through what you have done in his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.